Welcome to Monsters Among Us, Junior. I am your guide, Derek Hayes. My supernatural sidekick, Delaney Powers, will be with us shortly. How wonderful to have you here with us this evening. I hope you're prepared to have your socks scared off. Because given tonight's lineup, it just might happen. We have chills, we have thrills, we have ghosts calling names, and paranormal trains. But it's on the highway that we begin here tonight. The Texas Highway. Please welcome Bo to the program.
Hello, my name's Bo. I'm 7 years old. I live in Richmond, Texas. And this is my story. So I was in my car, like my dad's car in the truck, and I saw a ghost with yellow eyes. It looks like it was made by a human, but it was not. It was like a ghost with the glowing yellow eyes in front of a speed limit sign. And it terrified me. I love your podcast. I listen to it every Wednesday. Well, every Wednesday that it comes on. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bo, for not only calling in, but for tuning in as well. Go tell your friends about us. Now that yellow-eyed apparition that he reported, not the sort of thing you want to see out on a dark and lonely highway. And I sure hope that none of you are listening right now from a dark and lonely highway. That would be spooky. Okay, so Bo mentioned that the figure could have been a ghost. Well, I guess that does make sense. But in my experience, if you see a pair of yellow eyes in the dark, it's likely an animal of some sort. But given that the eyes were seen in front of a speed limit sign, would suggest that the entity would be at least 7 feet tall. So I suppose an owl perched on a branch in front of the sign could be one explanation. But when you're out there, on that dark and lonely stretch of highway, it doesn't take long for your imagination to jump to things like Bigfoot, Dogman, and Lizardman. So who knows what it was out there that night, but it did make for an amazing story. So a big thanks to Bo for calling in and kicking things off here tonight. Now, kiddos, if you'd like to share your story on the program, it couldn't be easier. First, get your parent or guardian's permission first, then dial 833-MAU-KIDS. Now, leave your story as clearly as possible. I know it's easy to get excited, but we want it to sound good. And keep your message under 2 minutes if you can. Also, don't forget you can email your story to us as well. Just record using the voice memo on a cell phone and email it to us at monstersamonguss.jr@gmail.com. We're really looking forward to hearing from you. Now, we're also looking forward to hearing from this next caller, who also hails from Texas. Please welcome Audrey to the program.
Hello, my name is Audrey. I'm from Texas, and this is my story. One night, my parents were out of town, and it was just me and my brother and my grandma at home. It was around like 1 a.m, and we were all in the same bedroom. My brother and I couldn't fall asleep. My grandma was still awake too. My grandpa was out in a party. Before settling in for the night, my grandma had to lock all the doors to keep us safe. Everything was quiet until suddenly we heard something. My grandma froze. She said that her name was being called, coming from the Google Home in the room with us. The voice sounded real clear, like someone was actually there. But it didn't make sense because we were alone. I was feeling nervous. My grandma quickly texted my grandpa that, "Where are you?" But he didn't actually respond. She texted my dad to check the security cameras, A few minutes later, he replied that there was no one in the house. But my grandma knows what she heard, something or someone called her name. And it came from inside the room with us. That's my story. Thank you for listening and goodbye.
Thank you, Audrey. It's a good thing that Grandma was there. Now, could this have been a glitch of some sort? Interference, maybe. Or perhaps your Google Home was simply hacked. Or is it that someone or something was trying to make contact through the technology? Now, I don't think there's a ghost involved here, but our Alexa will randomly shout out,
"There's someone at the door."
Even though it has no way of knowing that, we don't even have a doorbell. We get freaked out every time it happens. So let's hope that's all it was. Some glitchy technology with really bad timing. Because it's thrilling stuff, Audrey. But we do thank you for taking the time to share. Now, gang, I have one more story before I pass the torch to our MAU Mima. So join me in Canada, where Asher has something spooky in store for us.
Hi, my name is Asher from Ontario, and I'd like to report something. So today, I was just eating my breakfast. So I was just looking outside out the window, and I saw, like, this flying train. It was really weird. I was just looking out the window, and all of a sudden, I just saw a train. But, like, it wasn't on the road. It was, like, flying. And it was just went by. And so I was, like, telling my sister, like, I just saw a flying train. And she didn't believe me. And she kept on saying, like, it's this or that. But in the end, none of those were correct. And it was weird. Like, I literally just saw a flying train. I don't know how it happened. But, yeah, I don't know.
Thank you, Asher. A ghost train. That's exactly what this sounds like to me. Now, trains used to be super popular. Now, there are still a lot of them around today. But back in the 18 and early 1900s, trains were all the rage. And sometimes trains have accidents. Especially back in the old days. And as a result, North America is littered with ghost train legends. Stories of phantom engines, ghostly horns and whistles, and even trains that flat out disappear. And Ontario, Canada, the location Asher called in from, has its own ghost train legend. Back in 1910, it was known as CPR 694, and until 2016, folks near Mink Harbor, Ontario, called it the ghost train.
In 1910, a freight train went missing near the Great Lakes of North America, like vanished out of thin air. All of its cargo and its three crew members were gone, and people presumed the train derailed and crashed near Mink Harbor in Ontario. People then thought, you know what, the train probably fell into Lake Superior, but they didn't have the manpower to look for it. Locals in the area reported ghost sightings around the tracks and around the harbor. They say they see confused-looking men who are staring out over the lake. Fast forward 106 years, and the train wreckage was found at the bottom of the lake. The pictures of the wreck are truly incredible. Apparently, the train is the only sunken locomotive in the Great Lakes region. Recovery experts say that the train cannot be raised as it is too damaged and would likely disintegrate. Sadly, divers could not locate the bodies of the three men who died in the crash. Without raising the train, the souls of the three lost crew members may be trapped in the lake forever.
Now, that clip from the YouTube page, Most Amazing Top 10. Now, this might not have been the exact train that Asher saw, but it proves my point that train-related disasters have occurred in every nook and cranny of this continent. So perhaps there was one of these accidents near where Asher lives, and what he saw was the ghostly representation of that ill-fated freighter. Wild stuff, Asher. I love a good ghost train story. And this one didn't disappoint. So thank you again for taking the time to give us a call.
This message is brought to you by Pete.
We're going to be playing Brainwave today. Are you?
All right, gang. It's time for me to slip back into my cave for the night. But have no fear, because Delaney is here. I have no doubt that she will keep you on the edge of your seat for the remainder of the evening. Now enjoy the rest of the show, and I'll catch you in 2 weeks.
Thanks for the introduction, D-Dog. You're a true MVPP. Most Valuable Paranormal Podcaster. That's right, it's your MAU Meemaw here with not one but two frightening calls that may or may not cause you to pull your covers over your head. That's none of my business. Up first, we have our friend Macy phoning in from the land of 10,000 lakes. Minnesota Macy, the floor is all yours.
My name is Macy. I'm from South Central Minnesota. This story took place at my aunt's house, which used to be my grandparents' house. The main floor from the living room used to go straight into the kitchen and a little bit more straight into the dining room. And from the kitchen, if you turn left, you see the stairs. And me and my aunt, we were in the living room. I went into the kitchen because I forgot my pot. From the counter, I could see the oven backsplash, and I was looking at it, and I seen a woman-like figure standing behind me with skinny arms with her hands on her hips. And I moved a little bit, and it wasn't me. I watched her for about 30 seconds or so, and she was behind me in front of the stairs. So I ran back to my aunt after watching her, and she's like, oh yeah, that's not the weirdest thing that has ever happened here. Fast forward a couple weeks later, and she told my great aunt, and she said that my great aunt told her that, oh yeah, that's Birdie. She always had her hands on her hips like that. Birdie lost the house due to high paying expenses, and from what I can understand, she was very mad about losing her house, and she really liked the house. She was really skinny and always had her hands on her hips, from what I heard. Yeah, that's my story. I hope you like it. Have a good day. Goodbye.
Oh man, Macy, what an excellent paranormal encounter. And fantastic storytelling skills to boot. I always get so tickled when cases like yours happen, Macy, because it helps to make your experience all that much more real. Additional eyewitnesses and family anecdotes can go a long, long way in helping to confirm what we've seen with our own two eyes. And I think your call is a prime example of that. It's unfortunate that Birdie lost her house, and so it only makes sense that a ghost would be walking around with her hands on her hips in frustration of such devastating news. I'm curious if your aunt has been able to share other memories of her Aunt Birdie with you, Macy. Perhaps some more heartwarming stories about Birdie could usher in a more positive energy into the home, allowing your great aunt's ghost to feel a bit more at peace about her lasting legacy. Just a thought. Take it with a big old grain of salt. Either way, we appreciate you calling in, Macy. Don't pretend there aren't tiny beads of sweat forming on your brow. And don't pretend you haven't been nervously eyeballing that darkened corner in your room. Have you pulled your covers up yet? Think you have what it takes to brave one more spine-tingling tale? Luke, from the Longhorn State of Texas, do your absolute worst, my dude.
My name is Luke. I'm from Texas, and my story was around 4 years ago when I was 11. For context, my grandpa was sleeping over at my family's house, which meant that my older sister's room temporarily became his. In our house, we had a long hallway that had my parents' room on the right side, while my older sisters, my two younger sisters, and my room were on the left. Since my grandpa was staying over, my older sister had to stay in my room. My sisters and I knew something weird happened that night, but it wasn't until recently when we got the full story from our mom that we knew what really happened. She told us that that night she woke up around 1 a.m. with a bad feeling, saying that she sensed something was wrong. So she got out of bed and went into the hallway to check on us. She stopped dead in her tracks because in front of each of our doors was a black figure that my mom said she knew was a demon. My mom, being the brave and amazing woman she is, went to each of our rooms and prayed them away. She said when she was finished, all three of the black figures were gone. Now, at this time, I was 11. My older sister, who is extremely special needs and disabled, was 12, and my two younger sisters were 8 and 6 years old. So even if we tried to plan this as a prank, the four of us were too young to pull off this next part. My mom said that after the black figures had gone, she was headed back to her room when my older sister, from my room, began to scream very loudly. I don't remember this part because I guess I was in a trance or whatever. And my mom went into my room and my older sister was in her bed crying and screaming and she couldn't talk. And when my mom finally got her to talk, she said, "I'm getting choked and Luke is getting eaten by a snake." My mom was like, "Oh, it's okay, it's okay." And she said that she stayed in there with my sister until she went back to sleep. And she told me that when all this was happening, I was just laying in bed asleep, apparently. And then the next morning, me and my sisters got up and I told my mom, I said, "I had the weirdest dream last night. I was getting eaten by a snake and Ellie was getting choked to death." And my mom just stopped dead in her tracks. She's like, "What?" And my two younger sisters were like, "Mom, I had that same dream too." And my six-year-old sister said that she was getting choked out by a black figure, while my eight-year-old sister was the one getting eaten by a snake. So we just figured that was really weird that we had synced to dreams, especially about the same thing. Anyway, that's my story. I really like this show a lot. Thank you.
Well, listeners, if you're finally cowering under your covers, I wouldn't blame you because Luke? What in tarnation was that? Menacing black figures, shared nightmares, and choking sensations all in a single night? Where do we even begin? On past episodes of MAU Junior, we've touched on the serpent as being an ancient symbol of chaos, evil, destruction in the underworld, which, at least in your case, Luke, feels pretty appropriate. And similarly, on a recent episode of Monsters Among Us, Derek discussed the concept of mutual or shared dreams, which often occur between people who have close relationships, like best friends or siblings. So that part of your story also holds a lot of weight. The black figures that your mom saw may have been physical manifestations of bad energy, but why they were there in the first place is something that's way above my pay grade. Hopefully things have settled down inside your home, Luke, but if they ever pick back up, be sure to give our hotline a buzz. All right, listeners, I've got to go take some ranch dip over to the Veggie Man up in West Virginia. But Derek and I will be back soon enough with another rousing episode of MAU Junior. Until then, happy hauntings, hooligans! Monsters Among Us Junior is written and produced by Derek Hayes and Delaney Bowers and edited by Connor Ryan. Copyright, Red Crow Media. Additional support provided by Sarah Carter Hayes. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.AG Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. And lastly, the MAU Junior theme was written and produced by Ali Mamarian.